Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hi, I'm Don Fluckinger, live in Cambridge, Maryland, on the site of Health Tech Council's fall meeting. I'm sitting here with Ralph Echemendia, who is an ethical hacker and scaring the pants off the CIOs who are attending this conference, because he has worked for healthcare companies as well as entertainment companies who hire him to exploit vulnerabilities in their security, whether that's on the policy side or the technology side. He's hired to show the organizations where they need to shore up their security for compliance purposes and obviously competitive reasons as well. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Pleasure. Ron. Pleasure to be here. I'm honored.
Well, before we get into some specifics on healthcare, just explain to our audience, what exactly is an ethical hacker?
The term is a bit of an oxymoron, but basically I'd like to use the phrase more of a responsible hacker, right? Using the same skill sets, the same knowledge base as that which we know the hacker term to be in media. That's usually, you know, a term used for a criminal. Something happens that's bad, or the criminal mind from a computer perspective. But among computer people, it's actually not a negative term. And so that term kind of evolved from that, the whole ethical thing. But what it is, you know, we use the same tools, the same techniques, the same criminal mindset, if you would, in an ethical way when it comes to business, and that is that we don't do it without permission. So we get paid and we get permission from the highest levels of an organization to try to break in, from having no knowledge or zero knowledge, as we call it, to having auditory knowledge, meaning we are in there, we're dealing with their staff and executives to determine what it is they're doing, what it is they're not doing, and what they should be doing. But from at the deepest level, being at the attack, we attack the systems to figure out what is the risk involved in using this technology.
Yeah, and I find it interesting in hearing some of the descriptions of your previous experiences that there's a social engineering piece of what you do. It's not yet, you know, but probably a lot of people who aren't hackers imagine a hacker as somebody with, you know, a keyboard and isn't very social. But there's definitely two halves to what you do and the way you exploit networks.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that isn't that is very true. In fact, most of what people think a hacker is, you know, somebody locked up in a basement somewhere with a, you know, a computer in a dark room. But that's not really the case at all. It could be your next door neighbor, it could be the janitor, it could be anyone. That term is basically an attacker more than anything else, anyone who accesses your information. So information can be accessed in a non-computer form as well. In fact, there are three things that are security at a very high level here, and that is, number one, you have the technology itself. And then you have the processes, and then you have the people. And the technology is actually the easiest to secure through assessments of these kinds of scans and tests. But that's fairly easy to address, believe it or not. The process gets harder to address, because the process you have to truly understand and look at what is needed and where, if you want to call it security, can be put into the process so that it doesn't impede the process. Because the problem with security is that if you put that first, you have to have functionality, you have to have availability, and then security. And if you move security up, it's going to severely affect functionality and availability. And so with processes, that's more difficult, because we're now getting between the tech and the people. Mm-hmm. And it's right in the middle of that.
Right.
And then the people is the hardest of all to secure, because we are all, to some degree, pre-programmed based on our experience, environment, and upbringing. And one of those things that we have in us, for the most part, by default, is a certain wanting to help, period, some situation, whatever it is that you believe in. So that could be taken advantage of and will violate all the policies and procedures and will violate all the technologies, because you are an authorized user. So the issue of the insider isn't just an issue of a malicious insider. The issue is that if the insider is being misled, or if the insider is being hacked, if you want to put it that way, he has no knowledge of the fact that he's doing anything wrong. And yet, to the rest of the technology and the processes, it's him that did it, or her. And it's the insider who is the one doing it, even though it might not be that person at all. So securing those three things is difficult. And so testing all those three things have to be done to truly understand risk. Because at the end of the day, there is acceptable risk. And all you're trying to do is determine what is acceptable risk and what is not. And that's what brings up all of these regulatory compliance issues like HIPAA and SOX and PCI and you name it. And the biggest issue with that is a lot of the policymakers, you know, at the end of the day, it's language. And we're talking in different languages sometimes, from the tech through the process and through the people. So that's the thing that, you know, I think is a little bit different from the thought of a hacker just being a guy behind a computer, at least when it comes to being a hacker in the world of information that's relevant to all of us.
Right. Well, earlier today you told a great story of how a Chicago healthcare company hired you to see if you could exploit their vulnerabilities to get into their server room and sort of check enforcement of clean desk policies. And he made it into the building by posing as an employee from Plano and successfully got in and got his business card left behind in the server room. So tell me, with your experience, do you think that healthcare organizations are easier to break into, or are they different? Are they more vulnerable? Because you point out earlier that humans have this basic instinct to care for people. And if there's anything that goes on in a medical facility, it's a lot of care.
Absolutely. And that's one of the biggest issues in comparison to any other industries that I am very familiar with. This one is one that's different because the whole patient care issue, here we have technology potentially affecting decisions that actually cost lives in direct relation, and in, that's very different than, say, finance or entertainment, for that matter. So there is a much bigger human problem in healthcare, and much more of the procedures in the human side, but so many different systems involved, and they're so different. I'm sure you've heard recently about things like pacemakers being able to be remotely controlled. And, you know, these are the types of things that, you know, we hackers do, is test all these different systems, you know, insulin pumps being able to be modified and so on. So that's a whole new frontier of issues, not just the issue of somebody getting a social security number. As long as technology is down to that level, healthcare is somewhat behind there, because healthcare has never looked at that as a potential risk. And the more the technology has become accessible and knowledgeable to everyone, I mean, you can be a hacker, anyone can be with Google. Just go, all the information's out there. You can find it, you can research it, you can study it, you can do it. All the tools are out there. So the more that that's become true for healthcare, that becomes a higher risk. And I think they've had less time to react to these issues.
And it's interesting that you bring up PCI and financial data. I recently did an interview with an executive from Verizon who was doing a review of data breaches, and including some sources from law enforcement. And what they found was that healthcare facilities were getting hacked more for credit card numbers and socials of their patients more than HIPAA-protected data. Do you think it's possible that healthcare right now is putting too much emphasis on HIPAA because of, and to the detriment of, securing socials and basic financial data that the banking industry has locked down better for the last 5-10 years?
I think the healthcare industry, I mean, all of those different regulatory compliance issues and requirements are really just, again, a matter of language in the different industries. But when it boils down to it, it's a matter of what data has to, like, HIPAA has a lot more to do with privacy than it has to do with financial gain. And that's the big difference, is the most of the people hacking HIPAA are doing it for the purpose of financial gains. It's not what's being monetized now, like you said, is Social Security numbers and the identity theft. That's a direction it takes. But what happens with all that other data that has nothing to do with a person's identity? That, as that starts to become more monetized, all pieces and points of data, there are people out there trying to figure out how to monetize. And so that's a concern that goes beyond privacy, and it goes into money. But then the other way around, we have to foresee that there may be other issues that we don't see today. You know, we can only see so far. The point is, the data itself, I mean, I very controversially have said many times, the moment you go online, you don't have any privacy. And if you were to ask what the good, the bad, and the ugly in the quote-unquote hacking world bring to the bigger picture, is that they are all pushing the envelope on privacy. The bad guys who are stealing the stuff, the good guys who are trying to do the same things and catch them before they do it, it's just it's a game of time that's going on when it comes to technology.
So what should CIOs and the compliance officers they work with in healthcare systems, where should they look to shore up the vulnerabilities in their networks and sort of their workflows in their buildings that they might not be thinking of now? It might not be obvious to them, but they may have some glaring holes that need to be shored up.
Well, there's, oftentimes, and I said this in one of our earlier conversations, was that, one of the most important people in the security process, who would that be? You know, everybody kind of looks at me and they say a whole bunch of different things, but they certainly never come back and say the janitor. And when I say the janitor, they say, what do you mean the janitor? And I said, well, the janitor has keys to every room. What security thing? There is no digital security if you don't have physical security, because wherever those things sit, wherever those machines that have the digital data sit, if you have physical access to them, all of your controls, all of your encryption, and all that kind of stuff is sitting in that physical spot.
And somebody has to empty the trash in that room.
Exactly. So access at the physical level is something that it starts there and then goes up in layers. And they rarely ever think, well, you know, the janitor and housekeeping type services are almost never employees. They're oftentimes contractors that are used to do this. So, and there's a number of other, and again, now we start moving more into processes that have to do with other people, other partners or service providers to you that also have levels of access that they're not your employees. They've never been through your training. They don't know your rules. So that's one of the issues, but it's a matter of evaluating and consistently evaluating all of these three things, the technology, the processes, and the people. As the business needs grow, change, that will change too. And so oftentimes we think of a computer as something that automates things and you make it do what it does and walk away and that's it. Isn't that the whole idea? So that's but it's not. It needs maintenance, it needs support, it needs reviews. And as much as the environment of people using it changes, which is constantly, so does the needs of that technology.
Last question. If I don't know how closely you follow the proposed meaningful use of electronic health records legislation, but the next round, which is coming out, the next piece of the legislation in which the software will be regulated is about to come out, and it has provisions to make sure vendors encrypt health data at rest. Mm-hmm. How effective do you think that will be in preventing data breaches and keeping patient information safe?
I think it's like the old commercial, the club on the handle of the car, right? That you can buy a club and bring
right.
on the handle.
Right.
If you're a car thief and you're walking down a parking lot full of cars, if you have the club on the handle, the level of thief is going to have to be a lot more professional. It's a lot more targeted than what's happening now. I think a lot of the let's say malicious attackers and hackers are stumbling upon data that can be monetized, as opposed to targeting data that can be monetized, especially in HIPAA, especially in healthcare. So at the end of the day, I think it's going to make some change. It's definitely a step in the right direction, but that's not going to solve the security problem.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your time today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.